Previously on Your Kingdom Come.
Jesus is the master of the house, and Jesus is the master of the world. The wheat and the weeds until the harvest are growing together. In this world, as you look around, there are weeds and there are wheat. The church isn't ready. If we're likening the church to the wheat, and the wheat isn't fully mature, when you pull the weeds out, like the servant suggested, pull the weeds out, it's going to pull the wheat with it, and that wheat's going to die, and it's going to be useless because it's not fully mature and it hasn't bared any fruit. There's two distinct groups. When the harvest comes, the weeds are going to be cast into the fire, and the wheat are going to be placed in the barn. We carry that hope, and we can share that hope with the tare, so one day they can become sons of the King, because that is what the Lord desires.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 13 will be our place, and I admit it threw me off when I heard Eric's voice on the sermon intro video. He did a great job last week bringing God's Word to us. I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for our whole staff. Thankful for all of our team as we serve together to serve our church and reach our community with the gospel. But Matthew chapter 13, today we're going to continue in our series here in the Gospel of Matthew. We've been looking at this theme of Jesus is the King and we are called to build his kingdom. That's been our kind of our overarching theme now for some time as we've walked through this gospel together. We're now in the 13th chapter and are in the midst of the parables of Jesus, taking a look at some of these different stories that Jesus tells using these illustrations. And today we're going to look at two more parables that he gives us, but it's only three verses. So two parables and three verses. If you found your place, Matthew 13, we're going to begin today in verse 31. Listen to the words here of Matthew as he writes under the inspiration of the Spirit. He says that Jesus put another parable before them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened." Would you pray with me this morning? And we'll take a look at our passage together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the privilege of gathering together, Father, to read it and study it, Lord, with my faith family. I thank you for your grace, God. Lord, what a beautiful reminder from our choir, Lord, that were it not for grace, where would we be? And Lord, the answer to that is nowhere. We'd have nothing. We bring nothing to the table, God. We thank you for your mercy and grace that allow us, Lord, to not only have a relationship with you, but Father, to hear your word and to hear your plans. And so, Father, today we desire that. Lord, as Jesus speaks these parables, may we not be as those who have hardened hearts, but instead, Father, may you soften up our heart to hear your word and to respond. And so we ask this today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're one of those people who enjoy financial things, you know, talking about finances, thinking about finances, then you've probably heard the following little, I guess, not conundrum, but the following little scenario, following little story. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that someone were to come up to you one day and they made you an offer. And that offer was one of two choices. Option number one is they would give you a penny with the promise that every day that penny would double in value. And that would take place for 30 days. So a penny doubled in value for 30 days, or they would give you $1 million, just flat out $1 million. A penny doubled for 30 days, or $1 million. Now, if you've heard this scenario, I see some of you nodding your heads because you've heard this before. You know kind of how it pans out. But if you don't know this story, which one sounds better? Well, $1 million, right? I mean, give me $1 million over a penny any single day. But if you know kind of the way the story goes, you've got to figure out how much that penny would be worth if it was doubled every single day. So before I give you the answer, how much do you think a penny would be worth doubled for 30 days? Well, if you don't really know, you think, well, I mean, maybe a few dollars, maybe a couple hundred dollars, just kind of, you know, figuring the math quickly in your head, but you may be shocked to realize that if you were to take that first offer of a penny doubled in value for 30 days, that at the end of 30 days, you would not just have $1 million, you would have over $5.3 million. And you say, preacher, you're lying from the pulpit this morning. I don't believe you. Take a look at the screen. This is not funny math. This is not new math that they're doing in the schools now. This is legit math. Look at the screen. You can see the numbers. 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16, all the way down. By the time you get to 30 days, you're over $5.3 million. If you took option number one. The answer to this, or the reason this happens, is what we call compounding interest, right? You not only take your initial investment, but you take the interest earned on top of it, add that to it, you add that to it, and it grows, it compounds, it exponentially multiplies. And so if you were to take that first option, even though you started with something incredibly small, it would soon grow into something incredibly significant. And the reason I use this little story, it's well known, it's all over the internet, you know, kind of financial things, but the reason I use that story today to start our sermon is because Jesus today is going to give us an example of something that starts out very, very small and grows exponentially to something that is very, very great. Again, he's giving us these parables. We've talked about the parables before. We've looked the last 2 weeks at some specific parables regarding the parable of the sower and then the parable of the wheat and the tares that Eric preached on last week. Today, Jesus gives us two more parables to teach us this principle. Let me just remind you what a parable is. Maybe you're a guest today. It's your first time with us, or maybe you're not really are familiar with Scripture. Parables are simply what I call earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Jesus uses kind of earthly symbols, analogies, illustrations to teach us principles about the kingdom of heaven. And today, what Jesus is going to teach us regarding the kingdom of heaven, he's going to use two very little things, two very small illustrations to teach us a major point. And it's what I call our big idea. Look at it with me in your outline. It's on the screen as well. Today's big idea from our text is that as we share the gospel, the kingdom will grow. As we share the gospel, the kingdom will grow. Just like that penny can turn into 5.3 million, Jesus says, as we share the gospel, it will grow and make an impact on those that are around us. So to help us understand this, Jesus gives us two illustrations today. So follow along in your notes. We'll look at these two illustrations. Again, every time Jesus teaches a parable, he likens the kingdom to something, whether it's an actual object that he's holding or maybe a story that he's telling. Jesus loves to use these illustrations. And so today, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations here. I've actually brought some object lessons to help us understand these things maybe a little bit better today. So the first illustration Jesus gives us about the kingdom is what I call a little seed, a little seed. We see it in verse 31. Matthew says, he put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. All right, so the first illustration that Jesus gives is the illustration of a mustard seed. Now, you may not be super familiar with mustard seeds. When you think mustard, you think like French's, right, in the yellow bottle in the grocery store. But I brought with me today some mustard seeds. Now, I actually have two things. I have a jar here so that you can kind of see the color of them. They're dark, but I also brought a little cup here so I can show you just how small these seeds are. This is a mustard seed, and I did a lot of study this week. I became a botanical expert this week. Graham, this one's for you, okay? My botany guy. This is called Brassica nigra, okay? This is the species of black mustard seed. It's tiny. It's the tiniest little seed. You can see a picture on the screen compared to somebody's finger. If you sat that on your finger, that's what it would look like, a tiny little seed. I'm going to leave these up here after the sermon if anybody wants to you don't taste them, okay? Don't eat them. They're probably not very good, but if you want to kind of see what they look like, they're really tiny. And so Jesus compares this little seed here, he compares it to the kingdom, and he says that the kingdom of heaven is like this mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. He says the mustard seed is like the smallest of all seeds. Now, let me just pause for a moment and say, when Jesus says this, he's not making a scientific statement, okay? He's not telling us that if you look around the whole world, the smallest seed you'll ever find is this one. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is it's an expression. In the Jewish land, in the land of Israel, the mustard seed was known for its minute quality, how tiny it was. It was often referred to as one of the smallest things that you could see. So Jesus says, imagine somebody takes, and you may not even see it, but I'm holding a mustard seed in my finger right now. If you take this mustard seed, he said, if you were to plant that mustard seed, imagine a farmer sows it in the ground, he puts the soil over it, he plants the mustard seed. What happens? He says, ultimately, he says, this seed is going to grow. Now, we've read the verses twice, you know the answer, but if I were to ask you, without knowing anything about plants or anything about this seed, if I were to say, if I were to plant this tiny little seed in the ground, how big of a plant do you think it would grow into? Well, you might think, well, it would grow like a little flower, right? Or maybe like the, you know, the little mustard greens there in your garden, right? It'd grow about that big. But what we know from this plant is that if you planted this particular variety of mustard seed in the ground, it would grow up to become what Jesus calls a tree. Now, I said, I mean, what is that? I mean, when we talk trees, what are we talking about? There's lots of different types of trees, right? How big are we talking? So I did a lot of research this week, and I found a picture. I want you to look at the next picture. I don't know who this guy is, okay? He's a guy I found on Google, okay? But this is a guy this is in Israel, by the way. In all seriousness, it's a guy who goes and does archaeology stuff in Israel. And I looked on his site, and he had found this mustard plant, and it's all over Israel. It's like a weed. You can find it all over the land of Israel. And he went and stood by this one, and this one you can see, let's just say he's 6 feet tall. You know, this is, what, 7 feet, pushing 8 feet? He said he found certain specimens that grow from this mustard seed that would be 10 feet tall or more, all from this tiny little seed. Jesus says this tiny little seed, if you plant it in the ground, it becomes a tree. Now, we're not talking like giant oak tree, but we're talking a tree big enough for birds to come and build nests, and it's a whole lot bigger than what we started with. Something very small grows into something very significant. That's the first illustration, that of the mustard seed. But then Jesus gives us a second illustration, a second parable. It's what I call a little starter. A little starter. You may think that's an odd word that you do not see in your text. I will explain it in a moment. Verse 33, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, your translation may say leaven. Your translation may say yeast. I guarantee you your translation does not say starter, but I'm going to explain it in a moment. What are we talking about? When we think about baking bread and the rising of bread, we think yeast, right? And so that's why a lot of your translations use this as a synonym of leaven. But when we think of yeast, you think of like going to Publix and there's like the active, like dry yeast, right? That's in the little can and you can pour it in with your flour. That's not what we're talking about here. The word here that the Bible uses is the word leaven. And what this is it is a rising agent that is used in the baking of bread. So not only did I become a botanical expert this week, I became a baker this week, and I did a lot of research on what this is like and what it means, and I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about when I got up here this morning. So I didn't make this. My wife made this, right? I called in the expert. So I asked her, I said, hey, Leanna, here's what I'm trying to do. Can you help me make some of this what's called starter? How many of you folks who do baking know what starter is? Okay, a few hands. I'm not crazy. All right. What this is, if you wanted baked bread, you could create this starter, right? And it's like if you're making homemade bread. You take flour and you take water and you mix it together. And the whole idea is that you want it to ferment. And as it ferments, the yeast grows. And what happens is it begins to what? Begins to rise and it begins to bubble. And over the course of several days, you feed it, right? I'm feeding my dough. You would feed it extra flour, water, mix it up, and it continues to rise. Kind of like the picture, right? It's just flour and water, but over the course of time, the yeast begins to activate, the fermentation process begins, and it begins to grow. And what you're left with is what we would call this starter. So what you could do with this starter, Jesus says there was a woman who takes this leaven, this starter, right? And she takes it and she puts it in 3 measures of flour. So she takes a little scoop of the starter dough and she mixes it in with some fresh flour and fresh water, and she creates over 100 loaves of bread is what this 3 measures of flour would equal. She could make 100 loaves of bread, all beautiful, like beautiful yeast rolls, right? Coming from one little spoonful of this kind of smelly concoction right here. Why? Because it's this simple process. A little bit goes a long way. When you know, if those of you who know about baking bread, you know how this works. If you would make this starter, right, you take your dough and you're getting ready to make bread, so you get your bowl ready, you pour it in there, but you'd keep a little of this back, right, so you can store it up so that you can bake bread the next time. So the next time you mix it up, you keep a little back for the next time, and then for the next time, and the next time. Theoretically, you could take this starter and using the same original starter, you can bake batch after batch after batch, year after year after year. As a matter of fact, as I was doing research this week, I came across some commentators that said that back in Jesus' day, mothers would give some starter to their daughters on their wedding day that was like their family starter. And here, congratulations, now it's yours. And they'd pass it on from generation to generation, all from the original same batch. Isn't that crazy? Something so little as this fermented flour can grow and produce so much bread in the end. And the principle there is the same. Something that's really small, starts out really small, can grow into something really significant. So we see the little mustard seed and we see the little starter, and they both reap gigantic rewards in the end. Those are the two illustrations. But that leads us to why. Jesus, why did you tell us this parable? It's what I call two implications. Two implications. What does Jesus mean? What's his point here by giving us these two illustrations? Let me tell you. He tells us that these things are like the kingdom of heaven. And so if the mustard seed and the leaven are like the kingdom of heaven, what does that mean? Let me give you two things. First of all, it shows us that the kingdom starts small. The kingdom starts small. You consider this tiny little mustard seed, you consider this little bit of dough, right? And you think at first, well, that's not really a whole lot, right? Seemingly insignificant. We're talking tiny little things. That's how Jesus says the kingdom starts. And if you think about it, and you look back at your Bible, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? When Jesus begins the kingdom, what did he not do? He did not come in with thunder and lightning on a cloud from heaven. He did not come in riding a white horse. When he was looking for those who were going to start the church, he didn't call out the religious experts or the rich or the elite. That's not how he did it, right? That's how I would do it. If I were starting a kingdom, I'd look for the best and the brightest and the powerful. That's not what Jesus does. When Jesus begins the kingdom, how did he start it? Well, what did he do? Jesus came to the earth in the form of a little baby, born to a no-name family in the middle of a no-name town, right? Total insignificance. When Jesus begins to teach and preach and minister, who does he reach out to? Not the elite, not the well-to-do. He reaches out to the poor, to the needy, to the broken, to the hurting and sick, to the women, the outcasts of society. That's who Jesus starts with. When Jesus starts looking for his kind of inner circle, his right-hand guys, the guys who are going to build the church, who does he call? Not the Pharisees, not the high priest, not those who have all the religious knowledge. Who does he call? Fishermen, tax collectors, normal everyday guys. Why? Because the kingdom starts small. He started with this small group of people in this small area with a major message, but it starts small. But here's the next point. The kingdom doesn't stay small. The kingdom starts small, but the second implication is that the kingdom grows great. The kingdom grows great. When you look at this little mustard seed, what happens? If you plant it and water it and it grows into a tree that is infinitely larger than this tiny little seed, right? Or if you take this little bit of starter, you take a little bit of this, you can make as much bread as you want, infinitely more than this tiny little mason jar will hold. Why? Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is the same way. Just as that little baby was born in Bethlehem, Jesus, the Son of God, coming in that form, he didn't stay that way. Jesus grew up, lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross and rose from the dead after working countless miracles. Why? Because the kingdom was growing. Jesus, even though he reaches out to the poor and the broken and the hurting, what happens is those people get the gospel and they spread the gospel and the kingdom expands. Those original 12 disciples, the fishermen, the tax collectors, the guys with no experience, no education, what do we see them do? By the power of the Holy Spirit, they share the gospel and miraculous works abound and the church grows by leaps and bounds as you read the book of Acts. And ultimately what happens? The gospel, The good news, the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, what happens is it starts small in Jerusalem, and what does Jesus say it does? It grows from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And if we look back over 2,000 years of history, you know what we see? The little seed that Jesus planted there in the hearts of the disciples there 2,000 years ago spread from town to town, from place to place, until here we are 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world worshiping Jesus because we've heard the gospel. Why? Because the gospel has grown and it's expanded. It's continuing to move forth for the glory of God. The kingdom starts small, but it grows great because God is in charge and he gets the glory for it. So we see these two illustrations, the mustard seed and the leaven, and the two implications. The kingdom starts small and it grows great. That's great. We understand the parables now. We know why Jesus told them to us, but we've got to take one more step. Jesus, what does that mean for us today? What do we need to do with this information? What's our response? Why do we need to understand these things? Why did I bring this stuff up here today? Two applications. Let me leave you with two applications. What do we need to do in response? Number one, I believe that we should all be engaged in the growth of the kingdom. Be engaged in the growth of the kingdom. Understand something very important. These two things are small but mighty, right? But what would have happened if that farmer had not planted that mustard seed? You know what would not have happened? No tree. No tree, no birds, no nest. None of that would have happened if that seed had never been planted. What about the leaven? What if the woman had just kept it in her little jar and stuck it in her cupboard? What would have happened? No bread, right? There would not have been bread to feed 100 people if she hadn't started with the leaven and begun to spread it. And here's our application. Church family, if the seed and the leaven are symbols of the kingdom of heaven, and we as the church are called to go, we have been given the gospel message. It's like the seed. Remember, we've talked about this for 2 weeks, the sower and the seed. We have the gospel. And what does Jesus call us to do with the gospel, with the seed, with the leaven? What does he call us to do? To share it, to spread it, to plant it, to grow it. He calls us to go with the good news and give it to other people. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Jesus. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go with the gospel, he says. Take the seed of the gospel. Plant it as you go. Take the leaven of the gospel. Spread it as you go. And as you start small, it will grow. Keep on sharing the gospel. But you know what we do? Can I just be honest? When I say we, I mean me and some of us in this room, you know what we do? We have the gospel. God gives us the seed. It's planted in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for giving me life. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do for us. But rather than taking the seed and sowing it, you know what we do? We stick it in our little jar and we put it on our shelf and we say, man, I'm so glad I've got that seed. Man, doesn't that seed look good? I'm so proud of that seed. And we sit on it. And we don't talk about it. We don't share it with other people. We don't plant it anywhere. We just hold on to it. Or the leaven. We're like the lady and we get that leaven. Maybe it's been passed down to us from generation to generation. Thanks to our moms and grandmas for sharing Jesus with us. I've got my Jesus in a jar and what do? We stick it in the fridge in case maybe one day we'll need it, right? Maybe one day I'll share it with somebody. But for right now, I'm just going to kind of keep it right here. You know what happens when we do that? The gospel doesn't grow. Unless it's planted, unless that leaven is put in the flour, it doesn't grow. Church family, what Jesus is telling us is we have to be about the business of sharing the gospel. If you look there on the screen and in your notes, I put there for you, we are God's plan for spreading the gospel and growing the kingdom. God could have chosen any other method. If he wanted people to come to know Jesus, he could have written it in the stars. He could have made the clouds in the sky write out the gospel message. Jesus could give everybody in the world these special dreams and understanding. That's not how he chooses to do it. God's primary method for reaching lost people with the saving message of the gospel is for you and me to plant these seeds and spread this leaven. And if we don't do it, how will people come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ? We must be engaged in spreading the gospel, engaged in the growth of the kingdom. But there's a second application, I believe. Jesus gives us these parables. They teach us to be engaged in the growth of the kingdom, but they also teach us that we should be encouraged by the growth of the kingdom. Again, when you look at both of these things, the mustard seed and the leaven, they start really small. Let me just ask you a question. If you took some of these seeds and you went home and you planted them in your yard, how long would it take before you got that mustard tree? Well, I mean, I don't really know exactly, but it wouldn't be a couple of hours, right? You could take those seeds. It would take you days before you'd even see a little sprout pop up above the soil. It would take weeks for that plant to begin to grow. We're talking years before this plant is fully developed to the height where it would surpass a man. We're talking a long time. Does it happen? Yes, but it takes a while. The yeast is similar, a little different, a little quicker, right? If you were to take this starter dough and dump it in some flour, you don't poof, magically get bread right then, do you? It takes time. The fermentation process takes time. I told you, all week long, every day, we've been feeding our little pet dough, right? Trying to get it to grow. It takes time to grow. And here's what Jesus is telling us. As you and I plant these seeds, put in that starter, as we spread the gospel, you know what's going to happen? It's going to grow, but it'll take time. You may not see those results right away. You know, think about it from kind of a application standpoint. If you share the gospel with somebody, here's what Jesus is saying. Every time you share the gospel, people may not bow their head and bend their knee and pray to confess Jesus right in that moment. Every time you have a gospel conversation, Jesus is not going to say that the heavens are going to part and there's going to be angels descending and there's going to be these glorious moments. But what's going to happen? As you faithfully sow the seeds of the gospel, as you faithfully minister to others, as you do your job, you know what's going to happen? Slow, incremental growth. It will produce an effect. As I was studying this and putting this principle down, a verse of scripture popped in my mind. It's one I cling to often. You know these verses, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. God's promise, listen to this, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Isn't that ironic? Our two illustrations. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to be empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Did you hear the promise? As we sow the seed and spread the leaven, Jesus says the word never returns void. Let me put it another way for you. This is in your notes. Every gospel conversation, there's not a single gospel conversation that is a wasted one. No gospel conversation is a wasted conversation. You may not lead someone to Christ in that moment, but the gospel will produce its work if you faithfully obey Jesus and do what he's called us to do. It starts small, but it grows into something significant. Two illustrations, two implications, two applications, and they all lead us to this one big idea that we started with, right? Look in your notes. As we share the gospel, the kingdom will grow. We have a responsibility. Engage, share the gospel, and as we do, the promise, the kingdom will grow. It will bear fruit. Don't give up. Keep doing what Christ has called us to do. But if you're looking at your notes, you see that there's one more item there for us, and that's what I call one invitation. One invitation. What do we need to do today in response to the call of Jesus? He's given us these parables. He's given us the truth. He gave us these two little symbols and told us something great. Here's the invitation. Do you know Jesus? Have you allowed the seed to take root in your heart? Have you allowed the leaven of the gospel to change your heart and transform you? That offer is available to anyone today. And if you've never yet done that, Jesus is calling you today to come to know him as Lord and Savior. Or maybe today you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our call is clear. Engage in sharing the gospel with others. Don't stop here. Don't put it in a jar. Spread it to those that are around us. Jesus would continue to teach this message. He would continue to share this gospel, talking about the significance of the growth of the kingdom. Until ultimately, if you fast forward a little bit, we see Jesus do something else. He used two little symbols to highlight the kingdom of heaven. But a little later, as he was talking with his disciples, he uses two more symbols to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Today, we talked about a little cup of mustard seed and some dough for bread. Well, there in that upper room the night that Jesus was arrested, he took another cup, a cup of wine, and he took a piece of bread, not leavened bread, but unleavened bread, and he used these two symbols to talk about the kingdom. And he talked about how he was going to die on the cross, how his body was going to be broken, his blood was going to be shed, so that we could have the hope of the kingdom, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, that we could have the hope of eternal life. And he tells the church that we're to do what we're about to do in a moment, celebrate the Lord's Supper, remembering the kingdom, sharing the gospel, and doing it until he comes again. So here's your invitation today. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're going to move on from these two symbols to these two symbols. And as we do, number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then number two, if you do, are you sharing the seed? Are you sharing the leaven? Are you taking the gospel to those who haven't heard it yet? I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer and a time of response before we participate in the Lord's Supper together. Would you join me as we pray? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for our time in it. I thank you for these two pictures that you give us, the seed and the leaven. And God, you call us to engage in the work of sharing the gospel, and you call us, Father, to be encouraged by it. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today who maybe right now you're planting that seed in their heart. Father, would today be the day that they come to know you as Lord and Savior? Father, for those of us who know you, thank you for your salvation. God, may we not hide it in a cupboard, but instead, Lord, may we go out and plant it and share it. Lord, lead us now as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper together. Would you help us to understand the significance of what we're about to do? And Father, would you prepare our hearts for it in Jesus' name? Amen. I'm going to ask if you would to stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe before we take the Lord's Supper, there's a decision that you need to make, or perhaps you want to come and pray, or there's something that God's leading you to do. I'll be down front. Rob and Brian are here as well. We'd love to pray with you or talk with you, but let's spend some time before the Lord today before we partake of the Lord's Supper together.
I can hear my
Amen. Let me ask if you would to be seated for just a moment. Before we take the Lord's Supper together, I want to share some exciting news with you and introduce you to someone. I'm going to ask Miss Becky if she would to come and join me. This is Miss Becky Perry. Many of you may know Becky. She's been coming now for some time and attending church, and God's been working in her life. And today, Becky came, and her words to me were, she's ready. She wants to place her faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She's been hearing the gospel. God's been preparing that soil in her heart, and today that seed is germinating and growing. And church family, if you would just affirm her in that decision and commit to praying for Becky, would you say amen?
Hey, thanks for taking